Welcome to Season 6 of the Excel Still More podcast. I am your host, Chris Emerson, and I am here to encourage you in your walk with the Lord, and I'm glad you've joined. Our program continues to be sponsored by Cunningham Financial Group. John is a good friend, and he's helped me and my family in everything from stock and mutual fund investing to annuities, life insurance, and retirement planning. I certainly commend him to you. If you have needs in any of those areas, you can reach him at 205-326-7364. Thank you again for your ongoing encouragement and support. Let's get started. Hey, welcome back. I hope you're doing all right today. I feel like I may need to begin with a wellness check. So just kind of in general, how are you doing? Did you enjoy your holidays? Are you still optimistic about the new year? As we will discuss in depth today, January can be a very difficult month for people. And some of that that starts as the new year begins really culminates in its high point or low point today. Literally launch day, January 22nd. Did you know that it's Blue Monday? If you're not familiar with that, just ChatGPT it or Google it, and today's date will come up. Or I guess more specifically, for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, the third Monday of every January. It was a term officially coined back in 2005 as the result of a researcher's work putting together different variables about life and seasons and time of the year. And his jovial conclusion was that today, the third Monday in January, is officially the most depressing day of the year. So here's some good news for you right off the bat. If your year has started wonderfully and you're having an excellent morning, then you are so far ahead of the curve. If you are rocking the most depressing day of the year, just imagine what you can do with all of the other days of the year. On the other hand, if you've been struggling and you're not sure why you just don't feel that excitement at this point that you hope that you would, there are some real reasons for that that we need to face today, and you also need to know that you're certainly not alone. I have to say, I had heard of this before, and I think I included it in an episode a few years ago, but this year around, I had forgotten about it by name, but I was sort of experiencing it in reality. At our house, we just call that being in a funk, and I've kind of had that a little bit this year. And that can happen for any number of reasons, far beyond even what we can discuss today. Sometimes it's just one change in routine that can get to you. For the last three Januaries in a row, Summer and I have been in Sedona during this week, which really helps. But with some trips we took last year and just getting back from California with the kids, we just didn't get to go, and I'm sure that's part of it. And that can be it for you too, whether it's today or any other part of year, just kind of one thing that you love not being there. But if you happen to feel that weight around this time every year, there are definitely some reasons for that. So let's start by making that really fun list based on the researchers' results from nearly 20 years ago and also just some personal observations. What makes today Blue Monday? Well, first of all, the weather. So I live in Northeast Texas where the weather is usually mild, but January and February tends to be really windy and cold, and it doesn't get this nice fluffy snow. You just have this expectation at any moment that everything will be iced over for 2 days. I know if you live further north, you're like, Chris, you don't even know what you're talking about. But I think that's kind of the point. Almost anywhere you live, you could make that argument. Daylight hours are still very short. They started getting longer by like a minute a day on December the 22nd, I think, but we've not made much progress yet. And the weather is just generally not conducive to going out and enjoying those daylight hours even when you get them. Number two, the holiday season is over. I know not everybody loves the holiday season, but most of us do. And you know, the days were really short back then, but at least there were lights and Christmas trees and holiday fun. But now you put the Wonderland part away and all of a sudden all you have left is winter. There are some things that tend to come along with winter, like illnesses. It is easily provable that during the coldest, darkest months of the year, there is more sickness. Unfortunately, it is statistically proven that there are more deaths, and those may be the top two things in the world that can remove that New Year's optimism that we try to carry. In fact, with reference to sickness, this is what reminded me about Blue Monday. I was on social media a couple of weeks back, and a long-term friend, Carol Smith, posted a short video by her daughter, whom I've known since she was little bitty, Claire. And Claire had been down since the New Year, and she's laying there with the camera very close to her face, and she's like, "This is my last will and testament. I've been dying this entire year. I don't know how much more I can take." Then she volunteers to give away all of her earthly possessions and then sort of comically fakes her own demise. And of course, she was just making light of her situation, which I think is a really cool character trait that Claire has. And it got me thinking about people who may feel very similarly, but without the humor. And some of that just comes with this time of year. I think I even commented on that post. We all thank God every day for the blessings of every day. But that being said, January is the worst. And we aren't even done with the reasons why. We talked about the weather and the lack of daylight. Christmas and New Year's are gone, and we're in kind of this holiday no man's land. And then, of course, more significantly, illness or the loss of people that we love. The next one may not apply to you, but it was featured in the research from 2005, and that is debt. A lot of people don't plan their year very well, and of course, sometimes things happen that are out of their control. So when they get to the holiday season with the meals and the gifts and the travel, they charge their credit card, and guess when that is due? Yeah, they've gotten that first follow-up bill in the mail, and the first payment is due this week. That's something we've talked about in years past, so I hope that you have avoided that particular trap. But if not, please email me or reach out. There are some things I would love to share. And I'll even include an episode link from a few years ago called Building Your Ladders that could really make a difference this time around. So are we having fun yet? I still have a couple more to go. I know this is kind of a depressing beginning to an episode, but again, if you're doing well, I just want you to see how great you're doing. And if you're not, there's some reasons for that. But there are also some really great things we can do to help. But let me wrap up this list with two more things. One is that failed resolution business. There are all these high hopes for what you will begin, and you may have done that. But if your heart wasn't in it, or you didn't have it structured well, or you hadn't worked on that tenacity and willpower, then you're already watching it fade away, and that's just unpleasant. I mean, nobody loves to experience failure, especially if it's something that's really on your mind that you super care about, like your relationship with your family, or connecting in a better way every morning with God, or maybe losing weight and improving your health. It just really gets us down around the same time every year to see that begin to fall apart. And then lastly is something that doesn't bother everyone, but many are affected by just having to get back to a normal schedule. If you've been off of school and that's not your favorite thing in the world to do, like my kids and math, that has kicked back off recently, and homework may already be piling up. College students are reporting back for duty, and their classes, most of them around the country, are beginning right around this week. And college students are notorious for panicking in that first week of school when they are presented with this shocking piece of material called a syllabus. For those of us who have passed that stage of life, maybe we're returning to work or getting back into that family balance where there are a lot of things going on. I definitely feel this year and every year during November and December. I don't travel much. We're at home a lot. Family gets to be very close. Our schedules tend to simplify. And there's always this part of me that says, let's keep it simple. And then mid-January hits and everything sort of begins to flood back in with only minor modifications, though there's something to be proud of in those. So there you go. The darkest, dampest, coldest, most debt-ridden holiday free return to the doldrums of the calendar time of year known as January. So beyond the fact that it only goes up from here, which is an optimistic message, I think there are actually a lot of really good things we can think about and do now to make the rest of this month really great, and then of course build towards all that's coming. Okay, I really need to start with this, and don't think I'm coming at you hot. I just think we need to put it out on the table that if you're interested in having the best year of your life, you're going to have to embrace the hard. And I'm not trying to be trite or condescending or whatever word of negativity comes to mind. I'm not just saying, don't worry about it, tough, that's just the way it is, suck it up, buttercup, none of that. When we say embracing the hard, we're not just talking about fighting through the negatives, we're talking about our attitude toward those negatives. I mean, if we turn this to scripture for a moment and we look at books like James chapter 1 under perpetual January of persecution and trial and difficulty, the letter opens with considering it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. But who could really do that? Who could have this embracing attitude of the things that are kind of standing in the way? Well, I can answer that at least from a first century Christian perspective. They had their eyes cast a lot farther out than just immediate successes or failures. They were living with vision and hope and direction. So the things that happened in the near term were not the central factors of their lives. And yet, and I think this is super crucial, they understood that they can actually use those negatives to accomplish things that would not be attainable without them. That is incredible to say, if I did not have these burdens, if times were not tough, if everything was just like I wanted it to be, I could not become the person that God needs me to be. Now, this idea feeds back to some of what we have presented so far in the episodes this year. Remember a couple of weeks back, tenacity and willpower and that part of your brain that develops that within you so that you can utilize it in every direction? The way you exercise that muscle is by, well, tenacity and willpower. In that way, it's just like working out in a gym. You have to lift heavy weights and feel the strain on your muscles in order for them to reconstruct with more durability. So I'm not asking you to ignore the sickness that has burdened your year so far or the challenges of a new semester with a very difficult teacher. I'm asking you to say, how can I use that? How can I work through that with courage? How can I come out on the other end of this stronger? And how am I able to do that? Going back to the first episode of this year from the William Danforth book, I Dare You, it is because I'm on a mission. And that mission is farther out and deeper than whatever January can throw at me. If I am the kind of person who has decided to develop willpower and tenacity through burdens, which changes the way I see them, and I have identified four parts of my life that are going to get attention, my body. I will work on my body to increase my energy for the well-being of others and the service of God. My mind. I will learn things. I will deepen my understanding of things. I will discipline my pursuit of knowledge, regardless of the teacher or the syllabus or the new boss at work who doesn't seem to know what he's doing. Not only will those things not stop me, but I think I might be able to use them to push this forward. I want to pursue different social connections, a better developed personality. I want to be able to draw in and lift up people regardless of circumstances, which by definition is going to take training through somewhat tumultuous moments. And then the fourth corner, you might remember from I Dare You, the four square Christian develops physically, mentally, socially, and then spiritually. And for that, with all of the things we could discuss, I'll just turn your attention back to James 1. I want to be a person of courage and hope and strength, and I want to be useful to God. I want us to be closer than ever, and I want everything I do to be tied to Him. In order to do that, I will need to pray for discipline. Lord, put me where I need to be to develop that. And by definition, that will be outside of the proverbial comfort zone of long, sunny, warm vacation days at the beach. So that's the first thing I would share, which is embracing the hard, or another way of putting it is attitude is everything. It's a lot more significant than the episode or event that's in front of it. So here's a second thing that I think really is kind of like a 1B to the first point, and that is, let's eat some frogs. This goes back to some early episodes, and I think I mentioned it a week or two ago, but you might be like, Chris, you don't get it. Like, this year, January, there's so much that's front-loaded, so many challenges, some new and unique things, or some lingering things. Well, one thing I think you and I would agree on is you don't want those things to linger throughout the whole year. You don't want to carry those burdens or tasks longer than you have to. I understand you don't enjoy them or want them, and you'd like for them to be done away with. Well, in part, for some of the list, you just need to eat that frog. That's the simple concept where each day you do something hard and annoying that you don't want to do as early in the day as possible. You choke down that frog, and then guaranteed everything else you eat that day will taste amazing by comparison and be a lot easier to stomach. And maybe that's what you need to do with this entire calendar year. Just kind of back up and look at it and think, what can I knock out here early through the burden? And not only will it help me develop willpower, but it will make the rest of the year easier because I addressed it early. With that, I'll get to what I think is really the second application point behind Embrace the Hard, and that is plan your year. Now, to help get into that, let me ask you a question that will probably be a little bit uncomfortable, but hey, it's just you and me here. I understand that a lot of the burdens you're carrying now are completely out of your control. There's nothing you could have done about it, and now you just have to kind of embrace it as it is. But can I ask you this, and don't get upset with me, but how many burdens and difficulties and problems are you facing here in mid to late January because you did not make good decisions last year. This is the thing about the moment you're in right now. If you let things weigh you down, then a year from now, you're in the exact same spot as a result of a year that followed the exact same path. At some point, we have to stop the insanity of doing those same things and expecting a different outcome. So we've given you a little bit of a reason to understand that you're not alone if you're feeling a little bit defeated or down or you don't have focus. But in that, you need to understand that that makes this moment extra important. Because maybe, usually, you start diverting from sound financial decisions already by the end of the month, and so we get to December, and we haven't budgeted a little bit monthly for the holiday, we put it back on the credit card, and there we are in January again. What if this year, as soon as you get that credit card paid down or off, you set aside a small amount of money to begin every month, you repeat that process throughout the entire year, and Christmas is prepaid even before you get there? What if you did that with your health? Maybe you go, oh, I'm not feeling very good and I'm not where I want to be, but that was just the holidays. You know, that was Thanksgiving and Christmas. But the outcome of that is you really start the year in a hole. And with a lot of people, if we're being really, really honest, it's not that I was exactly rocking things through October before that got started. If I had been and I'd been working on it all year, maybe I would have had a little bit more to protect through those holidays. So this year, you plan progress monthly. Here in January, here's one cut I'm going to make. I'll just repeat that every month. In February, maybe I'll add one extra little decision, and then I'll repeat that for the rest of the months. And before you know it, the summer's going to come. You'll feel like you have more control over your body than you ever have before. You start seeing the results. And not only does the year become something different, the holidays next year will feel different, and so will January. And to me, it's perfectly okay to look forward like that. When I talk about planning your year, it does come down to building your ladders, that episode that I referenced earlier, where you build a rung in January that you know is good, and then you just basically repeat that good behavior, budgeting, exercise, worship, hospitality, or whatever it is, all year long, you build the rungs. If God keeps the two side pieces in place, that's his business, you put those rungs in, and by the end of the year, you've reached another level. But here's the thing, you need some kind of a clear vision on what that next level looks like. I know you've heard me say 100 times, everybody wants to get better, but very few people know what it actually looks like or could formulate some image of it. When I sit down with high school students, college students who really don't know what they want to do or they're feeling despair, I usually ask them this question, where do you want to be in a year? A ton can happen in a calendar year. You can change nearly everything. In all of the categories that matter, you build me a picture of what better looks like, and if the good Lord approves it and allows those two beams on the left and right to stay in place, we will build the rungs to get you there. So spend a little time realizing you have not burnt this year yet. A few weeks is just a few weeks. There's still time even in January to set some rung in place, but you need mission and direction and goals. So I hope that you can get a smile across your face and then plan your year. But if not, plan your year and then start smiling, because there are a lot of amazing things that are possible. And then lastly here, something that's at the center of everything that we do, it's not just that there are amazing things in your life that are possible, there are amazing things in your life, period. I mean, like, right now. When we compare ourselves to who we used to be, or who we think we want to be, or who someone else is, we sometimes see all of the negatives and we miss the fact that God has blessed us immensely. So the previous points still stand, embrace the hard and eat some frogs and plan your year. But before any of that will matter or have any hope of succeeding, you must first embrace daily gratitude. I won't take you back through level 3 gratitude for the 12th time, but I'll go ahead and tag it in the show notes as well, the old episode we did on it. But every day before you embark upon anything, find something that is good in your life for which you are thankful. Talk to God about that. And how much he has done and still does to make that possible. And then launch out into the day having announced to God how this day will be lived as a response to his blessings, which is just the action terminology for gratitude. The goodness of God drives everything. The Bible says the love of Christ controls us. And it is amazing to think about what is possible, even starting on the most, quote, depressing day of the year, if the love of Jesus was controlling your life. I think we would have a lot more peace and clarity, and purpose. And that would just change our attitude, our demeanor, and how we relate to everything else, the good and the bad. This made me think of the color blue, and I'll toss it in here at the very end. They call it Blue Monday because of all of the elements that give you the blues. And like I told you at the beginning, I've felt that more this year than in recent years. But the color blue is often associated by some with calmness and serenity. I guess it's like everything else. It's all in how you look at it. And I hope that's the attitude you associate with who you are and where you're going. Because if so, you can live in peace and with lots of joy, even on Blue Monday. Thank you so much for joining in today. If you enjoyed this episode, I hope you'll consider sharing it with a friend. Speaking of friends, if you have any mortgage-related needs, maybe you're a first-time homebuyer, looking to refinance, or just want to talk about future homeownership goals, reach out to Tyler Kane. He is a senior loan officer with Fairway Independent Mortgage. Tyler and his team, with their expertise and dedication, have helped many families achieve their home ownership goals. They can advise you on the process from start to finish. His website is included in the show notes, or you can reach him directly at 813-380-8487. And please remember, whatever you choose to do today, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, excel still more.